Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. I put my feelings on safety so I don't go shooting where I be. Cause you take the bullet trying to save me, then I'm left to deal with making you bleed.
And that's a whole lot of love, ain't trying to waste it. Like we be running them out and never make it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna taste it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna face it. But I think that I'm done tripping, I'm tripping. I've been skipping, that's how I can drop this feeling you keep giving. You keep on hitting.
When I don't get it, and I'm steady bruising just to save this, but I tripped on your love, now I'm addicted.
And that's a whole lot of love, ain't tryna waste it. Like we be running them out and never make it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna taste it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna face it. But I think that I'm done tripping, I'm tripping. I've been sipping, that's how I can drop this.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
I was waiting for you to say 1-2-1-2. Then I said, well, I better say something to the family. Good evening, family. Hakim Nuba is a little bit on the late boat with the 1-2-1-2, so I went on ahead and jumped in to open up the show. Welcome to Shoebox Talk this evening on Wednesday. What is it, April the 29th? We almost at the end of the month. We almost through April 2020. April 29th, 2020. Welcome to Shoebox Talk, family. What's going on down there? What's going on down there in Philly?
Oh, man. Philly's a hot mess right now, but we're making through. We're making through.
Hot mess as more than it usually is.
Yeah, we have too many people who just aren't listening and doing what they want to do, and you know. So,
man.
I have a bunch of kids outside playing football outside my house right now.
like it ain't nothing, like a million people ain't been diagnosed and at least 50,000 have died. Like it ain't nothing. People on the airplane just up on top of each other, going on vacation and stuff. You know,
yeah.
I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. So, but anyway, we are talking tonight to the great Dante Townsend, Pastor Townsend, and he brought some friends along. I asked him to bring the ministers on so we could open up the line of his church. And any minister that you want to invite, we need to have a round table this evening and get some things on out there. So if y'all listening, those that are listening, if you got some questions you want to ask, if you need prayer, the lines are going to be open tonight. There's a lot of people hurting. There's a lot of people that's grieving. There's a lot of people that's not understanding why their loved ones are gone, you know, in such a senseless matter, a senseless way to go. I know myself, I want to definitely pay homage to a good friend of mine, Mark Moore, who passed away in Detroit this week from the coronavirus. So my prayers go out to his family.
It's about,
and I spoke with his dad, Mr.
Show.
Hall.
They just talking about questions, and Dante is on.
Hello?
All right, just 1 second, Michelle. Everyone, your mic is hot. So please, if you need to talk off the show, please mute your phones and just come back when you're ready. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Michelle.
I want to definitely send my prayers out to his family, Mr. Hall, and his family and his lovely wife in regards to Mark. He will be missed. And at age, I think he was 38.
Wow.
That's young to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So to believe that the virus or this plague, I call it a plague, can't take anyone. Don't believe what you hear, what you see, and what you know, that this is, it doesn't discriminate. It's taking kids.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter your nationality, don't matter your gender, or what your beliefs are. So my prayers go out to the people, just the people, to the Hall family, but definitely those that lost loved ones in Detroit as well. So with that being said, Hakim, we got it. Sunday service was so powerful from this great pastor and good friend of mine, Pastor D. Townsend. How are you, Mr. Townsend?
Hey, well, hello, hello, hello. It is a true blessing to be in the house, amen, just one more time, amen. God has showed up and showed out to my good friend, my good brother, Hakim. Blessings to you, sir.
Hey, sir,
Janet,
thank you so much.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. To Michelle, Janet, thank you for having us on. Blessings to you as well. It is just a true blessing and honor to be here today. I tell you, you know, it could have been anywhere else and doing anything, but we are here as a family. And I tell you, you know, it's despite the fact of what's going on in this world, amen, the mere fact that we can still come together and give God the praise, I tell you, that means a whole lot. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I know, we broke bread on Sunday, and I've been meditating on that word. I sometimes go back and listen to your sermons throughout the week or in the evening time when I need to relax and just get the word. You know, when I can't find the word on TV or, you know, my favorite pastors or whatever, I always go back to my network pastor and listen to the word. That was a powerful message on Sunday, and I thought that we needed to go ahead and continue that message, or at the very least, I know on the night that my show was on is on Wednesdays, and normally you guys will probably be having Bible studies. So feel free to bring whatever scripture you want to leave us with, and whatever words of encouragement you may have for anybody that's part of the family. I understand that you brought some other great ministers on board with you tonight.
Yes, ma'am. I went back, and I, you know, I'm a firm believer that you know, if I'm going to go somewhere or do something, I got to have me some backup, amen. So I went
right.
and I looked and found the greatest of the great, amen. This group of ministers
amen.
That I have with me right now are the ministerial staff at the church that I pastor, which is Fuse Memorial out in River Rouge, Michigan, amen. The address is 456 Palmerston Street, amen. Shout out to River Rouge, and I would like to introduce them now. I have with me the exhorter, Kyle Garrett.
Yes, sir, I'm on.
Amen, amen. I have exhorter Lisa Green.
Hello, everyone.
Amen, amen. I have the minister, Rosalind Thomas.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen. I have the exhorter, Annette McKinney.
To God be the glory.
Amen. And I have everyone's favorite First Lady, Minister Tremaine Townsend.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Amen. Amen. And these are the ministers of Fuse Memorial CME Church.
Wow. Welcome to Shoebox Talk. Am I to understand? I'm taking notes here. I'm always taking notes when Pastor Townsend's on. Do we have one, two, is it three female ministers on the line?
Actually, you have four female ministers on the line, and one, and then you have myself as the pastor and one exhorter. I call them by their titles exhorters, but they are actually ministers as well, because I don't differentiate between the ministers and exhorter. An exhorter is a teacher of the word, and as we
okay.
know, the ministers are preachers, but I use them all in as you know, as preachers. So you may hear me refer to them as Minister Kyle. You may hear me say Exhorter Kyle or Minister Lisa, but they're all the same. They're all ministers. But, yes, we have four female ministers on the phone.
Wow. That's outstanding. Well, welcome. Welcome to Shoebox Talk. This is if you don't know and you haven't really tapped into what we do here on Wednesday nights on the HubNet Online Network, we pretty much talk about everything, and we mostly talk about, we like to get engaged in conversation with our following of people of all nationalities, but definitely our people who just got some things that we need to work out. There's some things that we just got to come together as a family, as a people, and have some conversations about some stuff. And sometimes it get ugly. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're going to laugh. Sometimes we're going to cry. But at the end of the day, we agree to disagree, you know. So, but anyway, I think we got to keep the conversation going. I decided to go ahead and have Pastor Townsend bring on some ministers because I have been getting inboxes and emails of people that's hurting, people that need prayer, you know, with all these this virus going on, with all the lives that have been lost just in the last 90 days. And every day as we speak, somebody's dying. So I wanted you guys to come on and any words of comfort that you could give us. I know we got a little bit into it on Sunday on the Jubilee Affair and you guys' service. But anything that you can offer to someone that's listening, that may be listening, that can't understand why a loved one would leave this earth that way, we encourage those words, strong words, that might be able to help somebody out.
Hey, man, well, I definitely would like to just say this. Let me first say this, that I do not believe that this is something that's going to be around. This is just for a season, amen. If you read the Bible, especially in Ecclesiastes, there's a scripture that says that there's a season for everything under the sun. And so I truly believe that this is just a season of something that we're dealing with. Now, again, Janet, you and I have talked many times, and I have mentioned about death. Death is something when your time is up, your time is up. Now, how you go is not something that how you go and when it's your time is not something that none of us can control. But we do mm-hmm. know that there is a time. The two things we can't control in this world is life and death. God blesses both life and he blesses the death, amen, because to return to God is just as much of a blessing to be given to your parents. So don't look at this as if it's that God is punishing us. Now, maybe God is trying to open our eyes to something, but I don't think that God sent us as a punishment. I want to make sure I put that out there first, because a lot of people are thinking that they're being punished by God, and that's a ploy of the enemy, where if he can make you think that you're being punished by God, well, then you're going to even push even further away from God. So be mindful on that, and be mindful and hear the words that I'm telling you, that you are not being punished by God. Any ministers want to add in or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I have to agree on that. And I would know that this is Mr. This is Exhort Kyle talking. When it comes to these times, I'm so glad that Pastor Dante pointed out Ecclesiastes, because I was just reading and just researching on it, and these times are getting extremely difficult, but God always refers to us that even in the darkest times, that he's always present, but in him there is no darkness at all. He's all light.
Amen.
So he's omnipresent, and he's always with us. And even like he said, like Pastor Dante said, this is just a time where everyone is being closed off from the stores. Everyone's being closed off from the movie theaters, concerts. You can't even go. You can't even go over to the restaurants. I mean, almost every form of entertainment that humans had is basically shut down. And this is just showing us that even sports, when I saw all of this, none of this has ever happened in the human in the history of, you know, human civilization. But this is a wake-up call for us, you know, with this is for God getting us to pay attention to something is about to happen. This is a season of change, you know.
Amen. That's somebody else's talk.
So I got a message, and any pastor can jump in and answer this. I got a message from someone that's listening and wanted to ask the pastors, do you think that life will be the same based on what we're going through right now? Do you think that life will be the same? Because I know they heard you say, Dante, that this is a temporary, that we just passing through. So after this pandemic, the question is, do you think life will be the same as we know it?
Mm-mm. No.
Well, I think that for those who are comfortable in their walk with the Lord, mm-hmm. spiritually, things are not going to change. Physically, there are going to be some changes that's going to happen. I think there will be a tighter band on how America deals with certain issues now, mm-hmm. even with a situation, you know, our borders, and this is going to be a huge change. Even the workforce, it's going to take at least a year and a half, or maybe 2 years for everybody to get back to where we were, because mm-hmm. you know, this crashed everything. It crashed everything. So yes, it's going to be a big change. I am hoping and praying that this situation will bring people out of that darkness and into the light, and that the churches, that every church will be filled on that Sunday morning and every Sunday afterwards with somebody that's wants and desires to be in the presence of the Lord. On that note, I always tell my members every Sunday that there is a new reason to praise God. Every day, every Sunday, there's a new reason to praise God. And, I mean, you can pick a letter out of the alphabet and find a reason to praise God. So I believe that there will be a change. I'm just hoping that, especially when it comes to the church, that the change is permanent.
Okay. I have another question for you, Pat, for the pastors. I want to know, do you think that this is God's way of punishing us for not believing? This person is a non-believer.
Would anybody else like to jump in on that? I don't believe that God is punishing us. And if you are a non-believer, let me be the first to comfort you and tell you that if you are a non-believer and if you have made it thus far without that coronavirus hitting your door, I don't understand how you could be a non-believer. The mere fact that you are alive and well, the mere fact that you are here, I'm here to let you know that God has protected you. Now, you got to always remember this too, that we're so quick to put the blame on God. But we got to also remember, when we take God out of things, I preached this a couple weeks ago, that when we take God out of situations, we create damnation. Okay? We take God out of schools, what happened? People come in shooting our schools up. We take we can't walk around with our Bibles. What happened? The world becomes a place where, you know, Christianity is just falling at the wayside. Churches are being, pastors are being ridiculed. All you ever hear is, oh, the pastor trying to steal your money and all this and all that. But I want you to understand that at this point right now, God is not doing anything out of the ordinary. Either God sent it or God allowed it. And if he sent it, he sent it for a reason. If he allowed it, he allowed it for a reason. So don't think that he's punishing you, though, because you have an opportunity right now to get it right.
Right.
I am punishing him.
So if you had to, we're gonna talk about this virus a little bit, and then we're gonna move on to some other things that's going on in this country in regards to this parallel to this. But I want to talk about our community and where we are in the election and how we're going to get to the polls to vote to get this president out of office. Anything else you want to touch on in regards to the pandemic?
Just that. Stay safe. Stay safe. I'm a firm believer in washing your hands and covering your mouth when you cough, and that those two have been the main two things that have spread this virus around. Washing your hands and covering your mouth when you cough. You have to do those two things. And again, be mindful of what your city and state officials are telling you. If they're telling you to stay in, stay your behind in your house. Amen. If you got to go out for a specific reason, go out and come back home. But don't be out cutting your grass. Don't be out, you know, playing in the field. I heard some kids outside my house, outside playing. No. It's not time for that.
Mm-hmm.
When that time comes, your kids will be more. I know everybody's tired. Everybody's stressed. Everybody's, you know, anything you can think of right now. Everybody's feeling it, you know. But at the end of the day, please, please listen to what they're telling you to do.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And it's basic. A lot of people who were inboxing last weekend talking about they felt like that it, this is something that's that made it's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of, paranoid people, conspiracy theories going on. It came from China. It came from, now they're saying that it came from a U.S. soldier. You know, it's just a lot of, so my thing is listen to what you know is to be true. Stop, don't get into these conspiracy groups and have these conversations and you get them to change in your mind. You know, we really, to be honest with you, this is the situation. This is how my personal feelings on it. First thing that Trump wanted to say was about, is people with the flu have died and all this time kind of trying to compare it to other viruses. And we've had the coronas before and SARS and all that. But this is something different. Mm-hmm. This right here, and we've always been able to come out of it. My personal feelings is I don't think we're coming out of it anytime soon. I think it's going to be around for a while. We may flatten the curve and all that type of thing. But we don't even have a vaccine for the flu, influenza. We have a little something, but that doesn't cure it. You know, people running around here taking the flu shot, and you still getting the flu. In other words, we cannot even control, instead of us being able to control the flu, we brace ourselves for flu season, you know. And it's going to be, we brace ourselves and we know, that a certain amount of people is going to die of the flu. And we have gotten so numb to death or the value of life that it's just, everybody just shrugs their shoulder, people die of the flu all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that these conspiracies, the other thing on that is the conspiracies, it's never going to go away, but just be smart and pay attention. We don't really know. We only know what the media and the government is telling us. We really don't know how this got here. We really don't know how it spread. We don't know if it's airborne. And like any other virus or any, to me, you should be washing your hands in the first place. You shouldn't be coughing on people, breathing on people on a regular day. You know, I'm real big with germs and stuff like that. You should be sanitizing these airplanes and public transportation anyway. You know what I'm saying? So the things that they're telling us to do, I'm like, okay, we're supposed to be washing our hands anyway.
Anywhere.
You know, period. Regardless of this virus, because if no other reason, because of the cold, the common cold and the flu, you know,
Amen.
And stuff like that. So we really, you know, so because we don't know, we really don't know where it came from, where it originated from. You need to pay attention because this is something different. We don't know if it's airborne. I'm trying to understand how, and maybe I got my facts, my research wrong, how a boat of sailors out in the ocean who ain't been to the States or have boarded another country, how all those soldiers on the boat become up positive for corona. They've been out there for months and months at a time.
Well, you never really know. You never know how it's. See, going back to the original start of this, we have a timeline, but we don't know how it started. We don't know if it was in a vial. We don't know if it was a blue monkey. We don't know what started this.
That it was man-made in a lab.
Yeah,
and China sent it over here. All kind of stories going on. You know,
nobody knows.
They're saying wash your hands and all this type of thing. You need to wash your clothes. You need to wash the mask that you're wearing out every day. You know, it's just I don't, you know, that's the best advice that you can give anyone for any kind of virus. You know what I'm saying? So, we have to, if you're not a believer, if you need to believe and have an understanding, I say open up your book, read your Bible, and just start developing a relationship with your Savior. and that is Jesus Christ. That's the only answer I give people. And if you have never believed before, now's the time. That's the best advice I can give you. So going forward, I feel like the last thing on this is, and I'm just going to kind of pivot over here into this second part, is I feel like that this is the worst time that the United States has seen in my lifetime. But to make matters worse, we have a leader that has made it worse. I looked at some footage somebody sent me about the press conference and the presentation that President Obama gave back in, I believe it was 2018, who warned us that something like this was going to happen. And so, a lot of people, and I know that I speak for myself, this leader, this president that we have, it's just the absolute worst. You know, there's no leadership. You got the vice president running around. They're not even showing leading by example. Neither one of them is wearing masks. And if they became positive, guarantee you they wouldn't let us know that. So, it's like Trump is going to admit that he's positive for corona, or the vice president standing up. Everybody in the hospital, to include the doctors, got on masks but you. And his only recourse was when he was interviewed was, the part that I saw was, he had the best excuse he could come up with is that he needed to look the doctors and the patients or whoever dead square in the eye. What does wearing a mask have to do with you wear? The mask doesn't cover up your eyes. You know, it's just not only is it an embarrassment, but it is a lack of leadership that has got us in the situation that we're in, to be honest with you. So I don't know what the answer for that is going to be, because whatever president comes, if Biden comes in after this dude, he's got a lot of work to do. He got a lot of work to do. Now, my concern is with the virus going on, with the pandemic, how is people, they're talking about people mailing in votes. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say, first, may I go back to your thoughts on the president and vice president? Let me just touch on that just for 1 second. And I'm sure all the ministers here will agree with me on this, that it is important for us to pray for our president and for our government officials. The reason being is because even though he got into office, always remember this, God allowed it, okay? For some reason, God allowed it. Now, that may be, as the Apostle Paul speaks about the mysteries of that we learn of heaven, that may be something that we won't know until we get to heaven and we ask God, why did you do such and such? But God allowed it, okay? So, and as Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. We have to remember that we still fall under the law of the Bible, the law of the blood, plus we also fall under the law of the land. So we have to pray for them. Even though we know that they do some crazy stuff, they say some crazy stuff, your job, my job, our job is to pray. Now, we can pray, Lord, bring us in a leader that's going to be for the people. But when that happens, we can't start worshiping the leader like he's God and forgetting about the God that put him in office. That's what we can't do. Now, if we allow ourselves, because during Obama, I felt in my spirit that everybody started praising and worshiping Obama like he was the second coming of Christ, and they forgot about the guy that put him in. I felt that in my spirit, and I've heard
really?
It.
Really? I didn't feel that in my spirit, Dante. I didn't feel that in my spirit. Maybe that's different down there in Detroit. You're saying to me that people, meaning what, like black people, worship Obama as if he was the second coming.
Oh yeah. You don't think that if you really think about it, people were just saying, like, you know, all they talked about was Obama, Obama, and Obama. But the churches were declining. You know, all of these things that were happening, nobody's coming to do anything to help the churches, no nothing. But everybody was talking, and everybody was all in Obama, but God put him in office. And that's been happening, and this is not something that just started. I'm talking about something. This whole era is it's not a Jesus type of era right now. What we're dealing with, this is a pro-Christendom era. So nobody wants to be bothered with the church anyway. People find excuses why they don't want to deal with the church. They'd rather go out and do this and do that. And so this is not something that just started with Obama, but I'm saying this is something that's been going on. And so because this is a pro-Christendom society that we're living in, that just compacted everything on top. We have been dealing with this for a nice little while now. Since social media has come out, it has destroyed the church. And that's due to the church not having a great history. Some of our leaders are not like they're supposed to be, and thus it causes a trickle effect for all those who try to come behind and do the right thing. We can all look at some preachers in our past or have read or have seen or even know some preachers that didn't do right along our path, and if we were weak enough to fall into that trap, we fell into a trap, and then we probably stepped away from the church. That happens so much, and it doesn't mean that every leader is bad. You got some bad apples out here, but the whole world now, where the church used to be their beacon of light, people are running back to the darkness because they don't want others to see the sin that they're in.
Mm. Okay, but that's you're right about that, but that's nothing new. I want to talk about our people, because us as a people, we're the ones that's sitting up judging each other, pastors and stuff like that. I know you and I had a conversation about this. I don't see any other nationality on the average. You know, I'm not saying it's all, but I don't see Hispanics, Jews, or anybody else. You know, tearing their people down, their pastors down, their priests down, the Catholic Church for most definitely, for the things that they're doing. But us, you get a pastor that goes and does whatever. They're constantly being judged, and it is so to where they're not. It's so bad to where now we have made that as an excuse not to believe in. You know, basically
that goes back to what I said. Yeah, and that goes back to what I said as far as a pro-Christendom society, because nobody the church is supposed to be a beacon of light, and thus right now at this point, because all of this stuff is going, Satan is running rampant, and people are allowing him to run rampant not only in their lives, but, you know, they talk about this pastor, they talk about that pastor. All of these things that's going on, it's creating more and more hate. See, we have to know the work of the enemy in order to be able to fight him. We know that Satan is, even with this situation, we know that Satan is trying his best to make it seem as if, like I said, God is punishing us. But God is not. God is not punishing his people. God is not doing that.
I haven't even
thought about it. Can I jump in with a question? I have... I have quite a few people overseas who are listening in, who follow American politics and local issues. And when I announced to a few people over in places like Trinidad and the Bahamas, they were aware of the plight with the water situation in Michigan, in the Flint area and stuff like that. So when they heard you folks were coming on tonight, they wanted to get a better understanding of who you are. So could you guys just, from your individual perspectives, could you explain how important the church is to the community in terms of helping and you know, just being good, you know, just providing that good energy and that good vibe and that helpful hand to the community?
Hey, man, I'll start it off. The church has always been an anchor for me. I have always been a part of the church. I had my wandering years from about 15 till about 10 years, 15 to about 20, 24, 25. And but the church has always been a beacon, a safe place for me, a safe haven. I could always get anything I wanted from the church, and it started with a spiritual, and then from a spiritual it went to physical. And so I've always felt that the church was the Walmart to the community. You have everything that you need at the church. And so I think that the churches, the ministers, even the lay people, we all have a responsibility to be to show the face and be the voice and the hands of God. Anybody else want to touch on that? Any of the ministers?
I couldn't agree more, Doc. To me, the church has always been very influential to me. From especially in when it comes to being a beacon of light, we are also notorious for giving praise. When you walk into the sanctuary, when you walk into a service, you know that the band is always going to be playing just outstanding, ethereal, even just moving melodies that grip at your soul and just let you know that God is definitely in this place. You know, that's the front line of the, you know, of the defense when you hear the music, and that's what has always gripped me, you know, to the church.
Amen. Anybody else would like to touch on that?
Well, I can only say this. This is Exhorter Lisa, and I would just like to say that I have always been a person who looked to truth, and the church always meant that to me, truth, as when I was growing up, when my grandfather took me to church, and I always looked to the church. Now, one thing about it I have come to know as I became an older adult, that certain aspects of church or the world, so to speak, or persons in the world, mainly I just look to truth, integrity, character. And so you look for that in each individual, the political and otherwise. So I would just have to make that decision for myself. I would just hope that just like we start out with our families within our intimate family circles and you branch out, the same integrity and character that you would expect from one another there, you would expect the same from the persons in the church or in your community, in your state, in your country, where whether it's the president or it comes down to just the regular lay person. So I would just only say that we would hope that everyone would pursue righteousness for our community and surround ourselves with people of character and have courage to ignore those who claim to be wise or do false or foolish things. We want people to govern and teach and judge or counsel, but based on truth. I don't profess to know political angles or even what we're doing here on the roundtable, but I would just speak that and say that I always look to truth and the Word of God. I do believe the Word of God can stand on its own.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen.
Okay. Well, those are some, you know, I pose that question because there's a few people who definitely follow what's going on in your state and in your local areas, and I think that it's very helpful to hear from the faith-based community on how, you know, you guys are leaders, you know, and the community will always, a majority of the community will always turn to the church when things get rough. That's why the politicians come knocking at the door, you know, because they are representing people, and people will always turn to you. So I thought it would be very important for people who care to hear from you guys. So I appreciate that.
Amen. And Brother Akim, let me also say that the Flint situation hasn't been fixed. We're about 75 miles away from there, up from Flint, but and I still have the church that I was at in Flint, and I still love them very dearly. Amen. But it hasn't been fixed. And so, you know, the mere fact that they're still dealing with it, they're still going through that, they're still battling, trying to get things together. Even the former mayor, Ms. Weaver, she fought tooth and nail trying to get that fixed and trying to get things turned around for the city. And we as a church, all we can still do is just pray for them. You know, still try to deliver, you know, good, clean water, you know, bottled water, but We're in a battle with them, and we're praying for them.
Yeah, that's terrible. Okay, Michelle, we have a caller. I believe it's Darius. We're going to bring him in.
Okay.
Well, good
Welcome
evening.
Darius.
Welcome, Darius.
Hey,
hey Darius.
Welcome. I've been waiting half an hour, but I can finally chime in within 5 minutes or less about what y'all talking about.
Go ahead.
You can do it in two.
Okay. First of all, before I get off my opinion, I would like to say my relative in Cleveland recently had the coronavirus, and now she's at home recovering in Cleveland.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
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 I'm gonna get that. That's number one. Number two, for the ones that don't know, I am a Sunday school teacher. And when it's first, when can I piggyback off what y'all talking about the coronavirus and then we can.
Come on with it. Come on.
I'm a Sunday school teacher. When this first got started, some in my spirit told me, said read Deuteronomy 28.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to the meat of that verse, I think 57 through 63, and it's talking about diseases, focus, diseases. Now, if y'all can read at your own time, but and I told a few church members of mine, I said, God sent, I said, God is not pleased. He sees something. He's not pleased with what's going on in this world.
Yeah, I agree.
And he took things away for a reason to get people's attention, not focus on man. We got to refocus on bringing God again in this world.
I agree
that we definitely need to bring the word of God back to the people. But Dakieta, also remember too that we fall under the blood of Jesus now. We fall under grace and mercy, not law and wrath. Everything that was in the Old Testament was under law and wrath. If you didn't follow God's law, you suffered his wrath. Now we fall under grace and mercy. We don't deserve it, but we get it anyhow. Yes, we deserve the hellfire, but I'm going to pull you out. So I don't think that God will arbitrarily send things to destroy us. Now, we do know that God is a gentleman, but God does have anger, and he does have fury, and he does have vengeance. But the blood of Jesus is what covers us, and it allows us to see through our own reflections that we need to do some things that change some things in our world. And truly, I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer in that I believe that something needs to change. I say it every time, every Sunday when we have the radio show in the evening. I say it all the time. There needs to be a change. I say it every Sunday in the pulpit. When I'm in the pulpit, there needs to be a change. You know, we cannot leave out here the same way that we walked in. I'm a firm believer in that, because if I don't sense the Spirit of God, I'm going to let it be known. There's something going on. And I have been around a long time that I can tell you that you can't pull the wool over my eyes and think that I don't know what's going on. So it's something that we have to make up in our mind and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to get my life back on track with God, and whether God sent it or he allowed it, it's here.
Right.
So
right.
The only thing that we can do at this point is pray that God will open up some doors and that his healing hands will continue to go forth, because, praise the Lord, we know that not everybody that got it died. So, again,
that's true.
If anybody comes saying that, you know, that where's God in this midst, not everybody died. It's not a death sentence. From the jumping, it wasn't a death sentence for everybody. Now, some people did die. A lot of people died, but it has not been a death sentence for everybody.
That's true. You believe that God took his people, the ones that died. You believe he came to get them.
If they believed in him and they believed in God and accepted him as their Lord and Jesus as their Lord and Savior, yes, they went on to heaven. Now, again, even up to the point of their deathbed, if they sincerely changed their lives and decide to give their life over to Jesus, they have an opportunity to experience heaven. But this is not something that you can just say, oh, Lord, remember me, and then you die and think that he's going to come for you. No, there has to be a sincere change in your heart, a sincere change, a desire to want to change. But if they did do that, then yes, they are with him. But if you spent your whole life as a hellion, okay, always trying to throw up stuff, always trying to make the preacher's life bad, always trying to make things out more than what it is for the church and all that, you are not going to make it there. I'm sorry to say it like that, but it's the truth.
Even on your deathbed, you didn't cut up all your life, and even on your deathbed, you say, Lord, this is it. You know, while you on that respirator, breathing, trying to catch your breath, and you ask God to forgive you for your sins after you done cut up for 45 years. Huh?
Sincerely. Sincerely.
Sincerely.
See?
Yes.
Sincerely.
Huh?
Yes. If it's sincerely meant in your heart, that means your heart is speaking, not your mouth, but your heart is speaking to God, saying, Lord, I know I did wrong. I know I messed up. I know I was a heathen. I know that I did all these things that went against what you told me to do. But, Lord, I'm asking you right now that you would forgive me of my sins and that you would help me to be a better person. And if it is your will that I come through this, Father, that I will do things differently. But, Lord, I rest in you, and I believe in you, and accept me. And if that is a sincere prayer in your heart and God decided to take you, you then went into eternal rest.
Okay.
If that was not a sincere heart, if that was not a sincere prayer from your heart, then you experienced whatever God allowed you to experience. But let me let me say this: hell is real.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Amen.
Yeah,
and a lot of people that are non-believers believe in hell. They do. They worship hell more than they do. They think heaven don't even exist.
That's
I hear things like, Michelle, do you think that this was the rapture?
No.
Said,
because if this was the rapture,
Lord, if it is, I'm still down here. Oh, Lord.
Can I be honest with y'all? Last year, when we had our tornadoes here in Dayton, and the skies was pitch black, I really thought, I said, Lord must be coming. This might be the second coming. And I said, I wasn't joking around. I said, this is serious.
Right. Stuff will happen in this life. If you know the word, you'll be looking like, wait a minute. Somebody said that to me, and that caught me off guard. I was like, the rapture? Wait a minute. I started thinking about it. I was like, Lord, I'm still here. Wait a minute.
I was scared throughout the rest of it.
If you thought that was the rapture.
Amen.
That's a lot of people, Dante. Over 56,000 people died? That's a lot of people.
Well, how many people you think are going to get caught up in the rapture? See, that's the question. The Bible says that there was 144,000 sealed from of the Jews. And then I looked and I saw a number of all nations, of all languages, of all people, of all colors, of all creeds, worshiping and bowing down at the Lamb that I could not even number. So believe me, it's going to be more than 144,000 of Christians that's going to be called up. And just remember, there are more people dead than there are alive. The Bible says that he will come for the dead first, and then he will come for those that are still alive. So, again, that was nowhere near close to a rapture. When that rapture comes, according to how I have been taught, if it happens this way, it's going to be like a thief in the night. Just come and swoop us out, and we're gone. And then those who are left behind will be left behind to deal with whatever struggles they have to deal with. But a rapture, that particular, this thing here, no, not a rapture.
So we wind it down. We got 2 minutes. I want to thank all the pastors, all the ministers for coming in this evening, listening to us, those who's listening to Shoebox Talk as we bring the message and sit down at the round table and have a discussion. Pastor, if you would take us out of Shoebox Talk in prayer, y'all have a good night.
Amen, amen. I want you all to please be encouraged and know that trouble does not last forever. I would ask you all to meditate on this scripture come out of Psalm 91. And it says, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walk in noonday, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but only with their eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling, that no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, unless you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon a lion and a cobra. And because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knows my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May God continue to bless you and keep you, all those who are listening, all those who will listen. May God's blessings be upon you, not only this day, but every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, ministers. You guys are always welcome here on HubNet Online Radio Network. And definitely come back and visit us again and have another discussion at the roundtable on Shoebox Talk. Y'all have a good night.
Amen. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.